listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. Welcome to the program. All over planet Earth and all over the United States of America. You know, you and I, most of us anyway, the majority of people listening to the Paul McGuire Report, and we've been on the air broadcasting or podcasting for a long time. Just in the radio portion or the podcasting portion or the AM, FM, nationally syndicated radio program called the Paul McGuire Report, on those platforms alone, AM, FM, internet, podcasting, whatever, we have been broadcasting for about 27 years. If you add to that the extensive interviews that I've done that are often or have been often, you know, 2 hours long, et cetera, we've probably been on heavily for 30 years. That's a long time. And in that period of time, approximately 35 years, I've written 35 books, and I have done a deep, deep dive to find the truth. And that's what this program is about. Now, we touched on it the other day. We talked about the fact how our media, Big Brother media, is under the total control of the 12 richest international banking families in the world. You know, like Rothschild. That's not a fantasy. That's not a conspiracy theory. What I'm about to say to you is not, it's not open for debate. It would be open for debate if there was any remote dispute about its accuracy and truthfulness. But since what I'm about to tell you is 100% true and factually based and factually resourced, then there is no debate. You say that's unfair. No, that's only unfair if you're stupid. If you know what's going on, there is no debate because what I'm telling you, excuse me, are facts. So this is the basic premise. And this is very hard for people who don't use their brains to come to terms with this. In fact, it's like they're slamming their heads against a artificial ceiling, an artificially small ceiling of consciousness and knowledge. And they can't bypass this small ceiling of consciousness because they think that that what you're saying and what I'm saying, they think in their foolishness and in their stupidity, they think that, you know, we're wild-eyed conspiracy theorists, but all the data, all the facts, all the information proves 100% that we are not conspiracy theorists. As somebody said the other day, I thought it was rather clever. We are conspiracy realists. What am I talking about? All right, let's go back to this hearing that Congress had with many prestigious senators. And this hearing was held a number of years ago. And our senators and so on and so forth brought the heads of the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, the head of the CIA, the heads of the CIA, and their top people, and they held a hearing. And they wanted to know, and what they asked the CIA was to what degree does the CIA dominate and control all of the media, all of the content, all of the beliefs, all of the politics. To what extent does the CIA function like Big Brother and totally dominate and control the media? Now, interestingly enough, and I have the article in front of me because I just don't go off into la-la land, you know. I do my homework, and I've been aware of this for quite some time. Carl Bernstein, you know his name. He was one of the two Pulitzer Prize-nominated authors that wrote that best-selling book that supposedly exposed the whole Richard Nixon presidential thing. And the two reporters, the two investigative reporters who won Pulitzer Prizes for their research were Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein. Now, Carl Bernstein wrote a very, very thorough article, which I have in front of me, 38 pages. And the reason it's an interesting article is because it names names, and it actually got published, and it actually saw the light of day. And this article came out Sunday, September 11th, 1977. And the article was published by a very, big magazine, Rolling Stone magazine. And the story that Carl Bernstein reported it on was Bernstein detailed the pervasive use, or I should say, the pervasive CIA use of the American news media, and how the CIA dominated and controlled the American news media way, way, way beyond what anybody thought was possible. They ruled it like Big Brother. Now, Bernstein reported in his article that during the past 25 years, that was in 1977, by the way, more than 400 American journalists secretly carried out assignments for the CIA. Now, these are the big stars in the media. These are actors. These are directors. These are writers. These are episodic TV stars. These are publishers of the biggest magazines, television networks, radio programs, book publishing houses, feature film, Hollywood studios, etc., etc. And the CIA, like a giant octopus, controls the whole media machine, or what is referred to as Big Brother. And according to the documents that are on file at the CIA headquarters, the journalists perform tasks for the CIA with the consent of the management of America's leading news gathering organizations. Okay, so that was back in 1977. The CIA is overwhelmingly in control of the articles, the videos, the movies, the books, the entire media machine. The CIA runs it. And with the full consent of the owners of all these big-time networks and publishers, et cetera, the CIA, with the full consent of this big-time media management, controls all the information and the content, the so-called facts, et cetera, et cetera. Bernstein said that journalists involved in the CIA program provided a full range of services for the CIA, starting with basic intelligence collection, helping to recruit and direct spies in foreign countries. Some reporters involved were Pulitzer Prize winners and household names. So what he's saying is the CIA was hiring the big shots. Some received partial CIA payment for their work, almost always in cash. And in addition, Bernstein said back in 1977 that at least 25 major news organizations provided jobs and fake credentials or a journalistic cover for full-time CIA employees that were faking like they were journalists. Now, this, again, is in 1977. Look at some of the names of the media companies that the CIA is controlling, or CIA is controlling their top executives. So the CIA is working closely and controlling CBS, ABC, NBC, the Associated Press, the United Press International, Newsweek, Time, New York Times, Mutual Broadcasting System, Reuters, Copley News Service, and the Hearst newspapers, among others. That's just the tip of the iceberg, and this is back in 1977. Now, do the math with me. If that was the case in 1977, because back in 1977, when I was writing books back then and writing articles back then, back in 1977, there was at least some kind of external outward appearance of major diversification among the different media companies and the owners. So at least at face value, all these media conglomerates were at least on paper owned by different people, different entities, and different families. Back when I started writing books and articles and stuff, I would regularly talk about the fact that the media in America was owned and controlled by about 225 major media outlets, that there were 225 major media outlets. That's diversification. But every couple of years, I would check up on that number, and it would keep shrinking. It would keep shrinking. So in 1977, and this is an approximation, there was about 225 different media organizations. Today, in 2022, with the consolidation of financial control by just two super powerful economic entities, BlackRock and Vanguard, and all the banks and financial institutions that BlackRock and Vanguard own, these just two of these mega corporations, who are all owned by the same people, the 12 richest families on planet Earth. The 12 richest families on planet Earth own and control all of the media organizations through just two giant globalist corporations. And as you go down a flow chart, you discover that when the day is done, these two corporations, BlackRock and Vanguard, and these 12 super capitalist international banking families, when the day is done, these companies and these super wealthy individuals, they own their competition. So there is no diversification any longer in the media. Because if you talk about, let's use a hypothetical situation, Fox News Network. Let's say hypothetically that CNN is Fox News Network's competitor. I don't think Fox News Network would claim that, but hypothetically, let's say they consider CNN Fox News Network's competitor. But when the day is done, the same exact people, the 12 richest families in the world with those two mega corporations, when the day is done, they own both Fox News Network and CNN. And you could go down a checklist of every company that's supposed to be a competitor to another company, and you find out that there any reference to competition is a total delusion. The same people and the same entities own and control both sides. So it just doesn't pan out that way with the media. It pans out that way when it comes to every major corporation and globalist corporation in America. Another case in point. Most Americans think that the two major competitive brands for soda are Coca-Cola versus Pepsi-Cola. So Coca-Cola is supposed to be in competition with Pepsi. But when you do the analysis, you discover that the owners and controllers of every competitive corporation, like Coca-Cola versus Pepsi, you find out that when the day is done, that both Pepsi and Coca-Cola are owned by the exact same super wealthy, super rich individuals, and Pepsi and Coca-Cola are owned by the exact same investment financial groups. So when the day is done, those 12 super rich families, whether Coca-Cola loses or wins, whether Pepsi-Cola loses or wins, when the day is done, these super rich families still make a fortune, still make billions of dollars. It doesn't matter to them. Listen, please, this is so important. It does not matter to the super wealthy corporations whether or not, when the day is done, Coca-Cola wins or Pepsi-Cola wins. Because the way the ownership is structured, the richest families in the world make money if Coke is number one. And if Coke doesn't turn out to be number one, and Pepsi-Cola turns out to be number one, then the richest families in the world win financially. They make a fortune, no matter who, no matter what company wins the competition. Do you understand that? There's no diversification in media or any other place. So that's what you call a rigged system. Now, so the church committee was the investigating body of the government, which held hearings. They were really asked softball questions. And the church committee investigated into the details of CIA press relationships and media accounts of congressional hearings. And during 1976, the CIA investigation by the Senate Intelligence Committee, the true extent of the CIA's involvement with the media became apparent to several members of the committee. And so they held an investigation. And they dug into the ownership, the stockholders, the CEOs, the CFOs, and everything else. And so it turns out that the deeper you dig, the further you go down the rabbit hole, that the CIA in its infancy, and who is the CIA? After World War II, in approximately 1947, the overseas intelligence arm of the United States of America was called the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services. Now, what happened was, in 1947, the OSS morphed under the rulership of CIA Director Alan Dulles, who was personally appointed by Rockefeller to be the head of the CIA. So Alan Dulles was the head of the CIA, and the CIA emerged from the OSS. And so this gave the CIA all kinds of power and control and the ability to spy. Now, if for some bizarre reason you're tempted to think that this is far-fetched, let's just review what has happened in the last couple of years. Many people believe that the last presidential election was rigged, that the voting machines rigged the election. Certainly, the news media absolutely rigged all of the television and news media coverage, and they rigged it to make all journalism, television, etc., anti-Trump 24/7, pro-Biden 24/7. It was rigged. It was rigged. Now, if you say that because the people who rigged it are still in charge, you are called a conspiracy theorist for daring to suggest the possibility that it was a rigged election. So, all these, now some of these names may not mean anything to you now because time has passed since 1977. But the CIA was controlling, through Alan Dulles, through John McCone, the biggest media companies in the world, like CBS, like Newsweek, like the New York Times, Time Incorporated, et cetera, et cetera. At that time, in 1977, those were the big shot media people. Today, it's changed somewhat, but they are under the total domination and the total control of certain intelligence agencies. They are not giving you truthful information. They're giving you information with a spin, with a twist. And so you're getting propaganda. You're not getting news reporting with integrity. You're getting propaganda. So what does this mean? Well, it means that, you know, when I first started out writing books and articles and stuff, I could at minimum, not counting the alternative media, I could at minimum check out 225 different media companies, and I would get at least some semblance of a diversified point of view. And let me give you why that's so important. Because you see, people in the United States of America have been strategically dumbed down over the last 50 years. It wasn't an accident. It was a hit job. The American people, through an unholy alliance between the mainstream media news companies, the major newspapers, the major television networks, the major cable news networks, the major media video platforms, the social media platforms, and all of that stuff, that most of that stuff just came into being through the internet age. But when the internet age was born, it made the ability for the average person to find truth, to find opposing opinions, next to impossible. They rigged facts. They rigged the news. It's no longer news. It's propaganda. And where does this propaganda come from? And look, you got friends, and I got friends who are categorically idiots because they think that what they're watching in the news media, which is nothing more than propaganda, they think that's news. They think they're getting both sides of the story. And all they're doing is swallowing in the matrix, the blue pill. They're going into perpetual sedation. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. In a moment, we're going to expose the rigging and communicate to you the truth that's not being communicated by the lying media, which is who is rigging the media and news? Who's rigging it? What is their motivation for rigging? And we're going to come back in a moment, and we're going to give you names and details that you have probably never heard mentioned in terms of a journalistic expose that you've never heard in your life from the lying so-called mainstream media. But I want to mention something before we dive deep into that. And that is, you may have noticed that the Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church, that we have been rapidly diversifying and expanding the number of social media platforms we're on, video platforms we're on, podcasting platforms we're on. And I'm going to just shoot straight with you if you're a regular viewer or listener of these programs. We are in a race against time. And I'm not saying this to plug the book, but you'll notice that on the cover of my new book, which it's almost ready. I know I've been saying it, but I can't in good conscience mail it out to you and cheat you. And there have been revolutionary changes in our society that I have chosen to expose in the new book. For those of you that have pre-ordered it, or for those of you that want to pre-order it, because you'll get a discount if you pre-order it now at paulmcguire.us. I can't cheat you. I felt, you know, I could have sent it out 2 months ago. And I pray, I seek the Lord about what to send out, what kind of content and stuff. And I could not, in good conscience, send you out the book unless I included the explosive truths that I've discovered through deep dive research. I want you to know that stuff. And I want it to be as up to date as possible. So thank you for your patience. I promise you it will be worth your wait, big time. I mean, ultra big time, no pun intended. Okay, so the other thing I want to tell you is we have enormous free resources for you to use, no charge, for you to pass on to your friends, no charge. Hundreds of pages of articles and photographs. The massive Paul McGuire Report radio archives for you to listen to free. The Paul McGuire prophetic emergency alert videos that you can watch and pass around for free. And many, many other things. Oh, I forgot. The Roku channel. We have hundreds and hundreds of hours on the Roku channel of free Bible teachings, Bible prophecy teachings, current event analysis with Bible prophecy teachings that I've given at the physical meetings of Paradise Mountain Church. We have at least 100 hours, maybe 200 hours. And this is the video from the meetings, the Paradise Mountain Church meetings, I would communicate. And this is the video at the both the audio and video of our Paradise Mountain Church meetings for those of you who could not physically attend. You know, there's a lot of wackos in the internet. And I'll just bypass this, but, you know, the meetings were not an illusion. We have hundreds and hundreds of hours of video, professional quality video recordings of my teachings and ministry at Paradise Mountain Church. For those of you who want the truth, for those of you who you got a hidden agenda and you want to lie, you don't want to look at that, because then that's going to crash and burn your false narrative, your lie. You won't have anything to say, because it's obvious to anybody that goes to the Roku channel, Paul McGuire Ministries, or just Paul McGuire, it's obvious to anybody who goes to the Roku channel that there are hundreds of hours of me preaching and teaching from the Bible and ministering from the Bible at Paradise Mountain Church International. So, the narrative that you have created is a lie, and you know it's a lie. That's why you've never retracted your falsehoods. But that's all right. I really don't care. publicity probably helped, because the worst thing is no publicity. And as a friend of mine said in the PR business, bad publicity is better than no publicity. So you probably did me a favor. Now, let's dive back in to the topic at hand. Why is this important? Okay, there's a fundamental overarching principle that I've been laboring to teach people, especially Christians, during the last 40 or 50 years. I have labored blood, sweat, and tears trying to communicate what you've heard me say a lot, which is try to impart among God's people and pastors and religious leaders, etc., to impart unto them what's called a biblical worldview, which simply means we understand reality, we understand facts and science and everything else from a biblical worldview, not a humanist worldview. And it has been very difficult, because without giving myself a grandiose endorsement, it's been very difficult because I have used every form of communication, films, feature films, appearing on History Channel many times, 35 books, conference messages. And one of the main things that I'm trying to teach people, God's people, people who don't call themselves Christians, all kinds of people, I've been trying to teach them the truth about the nature of our reality. And the truth that I'm trying to teach is based on biblical truth and a biblical foundation. So it's not something I, you know, got off a UFO transmission flying to Saturn. It's due to diligence, study, and research, and it's truth. Now, the reaction by many Christians has been very positive. I would say that this ministry, myself, the books I've written, along with other people out there, we have seeded into the body of Christ an expanded awareness of truth and facts and knowledge about our reality based on a biblical worldview. Okay? And that was critical, because the average Christian in America, sadly to say, the majority of them still are locked in to a mythological, fabricated mindset where they have decided that based on no facts to support their position, they have decided that what I am saying and what others are saying and have been saying, they have decided arbitrarily without any facts to support their position that what I'm saying constitutes a conspiracy theory. Now, first and foremost, let me just communicate with you. I don't care whether or not people who don't know what they're talking about and have made no investment in research and study and knowledge, I don't care what people who haven't done their homework, I don't care how ignorant people classify me or categorize me. The fact that ignorant people, unlearned people, would call me a conspiracy theory means nothing to me, because it's the opinion, and I don't mean to be sarcastic, but it's going to come out this way. I don't really care what a buffoon thinks of me. And I don't mean to be that unkind, but for crying out loud, if you don't know anything about anything, if you don't know diddly squat about squat, and you got your chest out and you're pounding your chest like Tarzan, like you know a whole bunch of stuff and you don't know anything, that's the opinion of a buffoon. I don't care what you think of me. You see, because if I allowed myself to care what you think of me, I would be detoured from the mission that God has given me to awaken the body of Christ to a whole multiplicity of truths that it is imperative for them to know, or they're going to perish. My people perish for lack of vision. So here it is in a nutshell. Understanding the basic framework and fabric of our reality, like what is really real, is absolutely essential. That's the thesis of my brand new book, Power from On High. That's the main message, along with how to biblically and intelligently access and harness power from on high. But one of the other takeaways that I'm trying to impart in readers is the fact that among the Christian community, which should know better, among the Christian community, there is a very large percentile of people who have a defective or faulty view of reality because they've never done their homework. They're anti-intellectual, which means they don't think, they don't read, they don't study, and they don't know what they're talking about through an intentionality on their part. This is the basic problem. Their fundamental view of reality and how the secretive power structures that do exist in our world operate is, it shouldn't be, but it is a complete mystery to the larger percentage of people in the body of Christ, including pastors and seminary professors and ministry heads and so on and so forth. Now, what I'm saying by that is that they have an Achilles heel that's very weak, and the devil knows that they have this Achilles heel. And the devil is going to use this Achilles heel on the part of God's people to destroy them and bring them down. This is not the will of God because, contrary to what you may have heard, God has a unique plan and calling upon your life, and God has a unique plan and calling for the body of Christ in America and across the world. And the unique plan and calling is to occupy the land until Christ comes. The unique calling is to make disciples of all nations. The unique calling is to win souls to Jesus Christ. The unique calling is to have a revelation from God and a revelation from the Word of God as to what an authentic third great awakening that's biblically based would look like. And this is essential, because somewhere the body of Christ in America has picked up the erroneous or falsified notion, a delusion, if you will, that they can just snooze and cruise. They can just fall asleep as the last days rush by. They're not accountable to God. They don't have a mission or a calling from God. And they can just hang out in the twilight zone as long as they feel like it. That is absolutely 100% false. Any way you study the book of Revelation or any other books in the Bible, it is crystal clear that God has called believers in Jesus Christ to be active and dynamic in the spiritual warfare that is happening right now in what is called the last days. So we live in the last days. We're called to be a central part of that spiritual warfare. And God has a call for America and individual Christians in America, and that is to bring in the last day soul harvest, which constitutes hundreds of millions of people being brought to the Lord, if not billions of people being brought to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But the body of Christ in America, the average Christian in America, is suffering from a fatal spiritual disease. And that fatal spiritual disease, diagnosed by the great physician, Jesus Christ, and here's some of the things that Jesus said when he diagnosed the spiritual disease of the body of Christ in America. Jesus said, "Without a vision, my people perish. Without a vision, my people perish." And right now in America, due to a rejection of the entire Word of God, God's people have chosen to reject the vision that God is trying to give them in the last days. And because of that, Jesus Christ himself says, "Here's your sickness. My people perish for lack of vision. My people perish for lack of vision." And so that's what's happening. Instead of seizing the time, occupying until he comes, God's people are taking a man-made alternative route called rejecting God's vision. And as people who reject God's vision, they are on the path to perishing. And that's not what God wants. That's not the will of God. We are, the last days is front and center in the book of Revelation. It's the signs of the times that Christ talked about in Matthew 24, 25. It's the end of the age. It's the fulfillment of last days prophecy. Specifically, God says in Revelation 12 that there will be an Antichrist, a false prophet. There will be a one world religious system, a one world economic system, and a one world government in the last days. And God says in Revelation 12 that there will be a mark of the beast chip implant, DNA implant, biochip implant, nanochip implant, and nobody will be able to buy or sell unless they receive the mark of the beast technology, which means they are willing to publicly reject Jesus Christ as Lord and publicly choose to worship the Antichrist as God. Now, if they refuse to worship Jesus as Lord, they're going to perish and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. So, my people perish for lack of vision. Approximately 80% of evangelical churches in America forbid and do not teach the teaching of Bible prophecy. My people perish for lack of vision. So this is a critical time in our history. Now, when you add to that this problem, you cannot have the vision that God wants us to have. My people perish for lack of vision. If you do not pursue the acquisition of that vision. So if you don't seek God through studying his word, through praying, if you don't seek the face of the living God, Jesus Christ, and cry out to Jesus Christ to give you a vision for your life and the church in the last days, then you're going to be, according to Jesus, spiritually blind. And the consequences of being spiritually blind are very important. My people perish for lack of vision. So, if you did any reading at all in the book of Revelation or any other of the prophetic passages, you would know 100% that we're in the last days. And the clock is ticking away. We don't have much time left. And we have a job to fulfill, a mission to fulfill before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you can only get that vision if you're going to pray, if you're going to read the word, if you're going to meditate in the word of God, if you're going to study God's word, and if you're going to seek the face of God. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. This is Paul McGuire. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I have on my lap in the studio of the Paul McGuire Report, the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. You know, I'm appreciative and I'm thankful for all those people who attempt to communicate the truth to people, whether or not that truth is necessarily spiritual or not. Truth does set people free. But we have a ethereal hollowness that is ringing in the empty hearts and minds of God's people because they do not have a knowledge of the truth. And as such, they're empty or hollow inside. And being empty and hollow inside, they don't have the vision that God wants to give them for the last days. Now, here's what I mean by that. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, Jesus is talking to the lukewarm church or the Laodicean church. Let me read it to you, starting at verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, what Jesus Christ is saying to the churches in America and the European Union and many other geographic territories today, the church in America And many of you are in willful denial of this truth. But the church in America, according to Jesus, is classified as the lukewarm church or the Laodicean church. Why? Because the church in America is neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So the church in America is lukewarm. It's neither cold nor hot. Jesus warns that when an individual Christian's spiritual condition is one of lukewarmness, when the body of Christ, like in America, the predominant spiritual condition is one of lukewarmness, Jesus says that his reaction to encountering a lukewarm church is to vomit the lukewarm church out of his mouth. Why? So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Why? Because if you're lukewarm, you're good for nothing. You see, if you're cold, there's applications. If you're hot, there's applications. But if you're like lukewarm, you're nothing. It's like people spit lukewarm food often out of their mouths. Most people don't like lukewarm soup. I hate lukewarm coffee. I want to vomit it out of my mouth. It's no good. This is what Jesus Christ was talking about. It's kind of similar to when Jesus Christ said, you know, talking of his people, that he wishes that they were still salty. He compared the spiritual condition of his people to being salty, but Jesus warned that if the salt has lost its savor or its bite or its taste, it's good for nothing. You can't use it in food. It doesn't spice up your food. And it doesn't function as a preservative either, which stops things from rotting. And then it talks about the delusion of this church in that it thinks it's wealthy and it doesn't need anything. And then God says that I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed. This is essential to Jesus. This is the problem that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. After they ate the forbidden fruit, they ignited the fall of man. They activated the law of sin and death. And the reason they activated the law of sin and death was that they were now in a state of shame. Adam was ashamed and conscious of the fact that he was naked. He was ashamed of his nakedness. And along with being ashamed of your nakedness goes, you've lost your spiritual power. You're dominated by a spirit of fear. You're ashamed of your nakedness. You see, all of these are concurrent conditions. And that they mean that the believer or the church is weak. When you're ashamed, it means that you're ashamed of your nakedness, but also deep inside, you're ashamed that you're a Christian, because when the world looks at you, they look at a weak, apathetic Christian with no power. That's not how God designed you. And then you're ashamed that your nakedness may be revealed. So God says, Jesus Christ says to this church, to this kind of Christian, that he wants to heal them of this negative, spiritual, powerless condition. And so Jesus says that he wants to anoint your eyes with eye salve or eye medication, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So the shame of your nakedness will go away, because you'll be clothed with the glory of God. Now, hear what the Lord is saying. When you're clothed with the glory of God, you're no longer weak, ashamed, fearful, and naked. But what takes away your very serious, deadly, negative spiritual condition, you have to repent before the Lord, okay? And you have to come to the Lord and admit that you're blind. And if you're blind, you're not going to get the Lord's vision for the church and for your life. So God wants to heal your eyes. And then God wants to supernaturally empower you to be an overcomer. But then the important thing to remember is that God wants to take away the shame of your nakedness. So he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve. So God, what did he do to Adam and Eve? For the first time in their lives, Adam was dominated, as Eve was, with a spirit of fear. They were totally ashamed of their nakedness. So what did God do out of love and compassion? Even though they failed, when they came to God, God took away the shame of their nakedness by clothing them with supernatural clothing. And what was the supernatural clothing that the Lord clothed them with? It was this supernatural gold, or the glory of God. They were clothed with the glory of God. Now, what does that mean? That means that in Bible prophecy and in the book of Acts, it says that God wants to clothe his people with power from on high. If you will allow God to clothe you, take away your nakedness, the way that is done is that you pray to Jesus and you ask Jesus to clothe you with power from on high. When you're clothed with power from on high, you're no longer ashamed, you're no longer fearful, you're no longer naked, you are clothed literally with power from on high. This is what God wants for his church in the last days in America and other places around the world. He wants his church and individual Christians to be clothed with power from on high, so that they are anointed to take the land, be overcomers, and fulfill their destiny. That's what God wants. Okay. So the Lord says, without a vision, my people perish. Unless you have a vision for your life, a vision for the future, a vision for what God can do, unless you have a vision for what God wants to do in and through you and in and through the church in the last days, then you can't fulfill that vision. You need the Word of God and you need power from on high. But where else, according to the Word of God, do you acquire power? You get power when you seek God and you seek His Word, and when you seek the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to clothe you with power from on high, you're then clothed with the supernatural power of God. And when you're clothed with the supernatural power of God or power from on high, you are transformed. The anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How can that anointing be understood? Well, very simply, the anointing or power from on high can be understood this way. When you ask God to clothe you with power from on high, He does just that. And the word power comes from the word dunamis, which comes from the word dynamite, which means power from on high is a dynamite explosive force that clothes you with power from on high. You now have the supernatural power and anointing and ability to defeat Satan and the demons and the fallen angels. That's awesome. You need to take that land now and stop being a person of wavering or two different opinions. You need to take that land now and be clothed with power from on high. So the Word of God also says that knowledge is power. To the degree that you will study with a biblical worldview, to the degree that you will read both God's Word and other books, to the degree that you will enrich your mind and self-educate yourself and teach yourself, that constitutes a general category we call gaining knowledge. Now, when you choose to gain knowledge, guess what happens? You also receive power from on high. When you gain knowledge, according to the Word of God, you also acquire power. The reason the church is, in many respects, impotent, powerless, ashamed, and frightened in the last day, the reason the church is lacking a vision in the last days, is because the Church of Jesus Christ is not obeying the Lord, not obeying His Word, and the Church of Jesus Christ is not gaining knowledge which would grant them power. Knowledge is power. So if we want to defeat the enemy, we must have knowledge or power in all these specific areas. And that means every area of importance, such as a knowledge of economics and who owns what, a knowledge of science, a knowledge of persuasion, a knowledge of propaganda. We must have knowledge in the full spectrum of life so that we can have power in the full spectrum of life. Now, I'm sharing with you now knowledge, which will give you power. If you pursue this knowledge, you will get power. So understanding the way the thought machine works, understanding the way people's minds are ruled and controlled, understanding the way people think and why they think the way they think, understanding why we've lost several generations of youth to witchcraft and paganism and atheism, understanding all these things, and they can be understood when you have knowledge, because knowledge brings power. So, the ceiling upon which Christians continually bump their heads is the low-level ceiling of a low level of consciousness, a low level of knowledge, which produces a low level of power. Once we understand that for all practical purposes, we live in a matrix type of a world, then we understand that there are puppet masters, there are controllers to the matrix world we live in. These puppet masters consist of 12 super rich, super capitalist families that have total control, total dominion, and total rulership of planet Earth. For many reasons, these super rich families, 12 of them, control all the banks and financial institutions. They own all the major media outlets. They own the school systems and the educational systems. They own both political parties. And so, because of that, they have, this is hard for Christians to grasp, it's hard for Christians to assimilate, but it's true. And this is the truth. They have been planning for thousands of years. It's accelerated in the last several hundred years. They have been planning a total power grab, a total takeover of planet Earth. And because at the highest level, if you have knowledge, you know this. If you have no knowledge, you don't know this. At the highest level, these people are Luciferians and occultists. And as Luciferians and occultists, they use secret occult technologies, secret occult powers, and secret occult methodologies to accomplish their goals. So one occult principle that they use constantly is the occultic principle known as order out of chaos, or new world order out of chaos, or new order out of crisis, or manufactured crisis. So the idea is that the globalist elite deliberately stir up crisis, chaos, anarchy, revolutions, communism, social upheaval. They do it intentionally. So they create mass chaos for the purpose of creating mass transformation, for the purpose of enslaving the masses of middle class and working class people on planet Earth. Right now, the middle class and the working class on planet Earth have never been in a season of such egregious slavery as they are now. When you look at who owns the money, the assets, the real estate, the corporations, you see it's just 12 international banking families. But those 12 international banking families have also managed to rob and steal the assets and the money of the working class and the middle class. And they have done that intentionally in order to enslave them. Now, added to that, in order that the middle class and the working class would not be cognizant of the fact that they have been conquered, that they've been enslaved, that they've been made slaves, the middle class and working class doesn't understand that they've been transformed into slaves through a process known as scientific mind control, propaganda, brainwashing, so-called education, hypnosis, and other mind-indoctrinating, mind-altering techniques. So we live in a technological, neurological slavery that Aldous Huxley, the great, I don't know, great or not, but he was a member of the British elite along with his brother Julian Huxley. And he said, when speaking at a convention of neuropsychiatrists at the University of Berkeley, that in a truly effective scientific dictatorship, people will no longer know that they're slaves. They'll no longer know that they're in captivity, because their brainwashing, their scientific mind control, will have been so effective that they will no longer know or understand that they've been conquered as slaves, and they can be programmed so efficiently that they have no idea that they've been transformed into slaves. And then Huxley said, we can program them so effectively that they will not even know they are slaves, and they will learn to love their servitude. They will learn to love their slavery. We can program them so effectively that they will fall in love with their slavery. And that's where the church is in America and the European Union and many other nations. That's where Christians are all across America. Without firing a shot, the globalist elite, who finance global scientific mind control and propaganda, without firing a shot, the globalist elite have thoroughly conquered the working class and the middle class through psychotronic and technotronic weapons, which means weapons of technology. So, for example, the globalist elite, while they teach the working class and middle class that things like electromagnetic frequencies and controlling people's minds through electromagnetic frequencies is just nothing more than a nutty, weird conspiracy theory. Simultaneously, they know darn well it's not a nutty conspiracy theory. They know darn well that the usage of electromagnetic frequency weapons are some of the most powerful technological weapons available that control men's and women's minds and their belief systems and their behavior and their attitudes. That they know, the globalist elite know so many things that the artificially dumbed down middle class and lower class don't know. They know, for example, that they have been taken captive through what were once perceived as like science fiction level futuristic weapons. But the problem is that these scientific, futuristic, technological weapons don't belong to the realm of science fiction anymore. They were invented 30 and 40 years ago. That's right, not last year, 30 or 40 years ago, these technological, scientific weapons were invented to control men and women's minds all over America and planet Earth. That is why you can see so many Christians looking at reality, but the light bulb never goes on. They never understand that they've been captured and enslaved by technology and science. They're totally ignorant of that reality. And it is a reality. So the technocratic elite, the globalist elite, the scientific elite are controlling all aspects of human behavior, all aspects of beliefs. Why do you think Christian parents are in a perpetual war against the media and the educational system? Because the media and the educational system are bombarding your children's minds with thoughts, ideas, and philosophies that are telling them you evolved from an animal, there's no moral right, there's no moral wrong, there's no importance to patriotism, that there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell. Why do you think the average student, the average adult's mind has been programmed with this endless list of lies? Why? Because the people that run this world are using advanced futuristic and scientific technologies to control the thinking of the masses. And by the way, controlling the thinking of the masses begins with dumbing them down scientifically. Once you reduce them to the state of stupidity, then they're like silly putty. You can just shape and mold their brains like colored toy clay. And that's why, if you want to hear the truth and not a lie, I'm going to tell you the truth right now. The reason the overwhelming majority or the largest percentage of the Christian church in America and Europe and the largest percentage or majority of individual Christians in Europe and America, the reason that collectively the church and Christians are, in a sense, neutered, they have been weakened, they have been rendered powerless, they're frightened, they're scared, they don't understand their authority in Jesus Christ, they don't know how to access the supernatural, they don't know how to access by faith a biblical worldview. The reason all of that demonic activity is coming at the church and children of the church, the reason all that demonic assault is happening is because God's people, their children and God's people themselves, have been programmed into being stupid and dumbed down and powerless. And because God's people are in a state of powerlessness, they have no knowledge, The demonic powers are taking over our nation with an ever-increasing velocity. The demonic powers are taking even more over of the educational system, of the media system. And what is emerging, make no mistake about this, what is emerging right before our eyes is the most antichrist, totalitarian beast system that has ever risen in the history of mankind. Mankind is being enslaved to the degree that the book of Revelation very clearly outlines. That slavery will come to fruition with the mark of the beast implant, where you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Now, it's important for God's people to understand technology, understand science, but it's also important for God's people to have a biblical worldview, and it's important for God's people to understand how to access by faith the supernatural power of God. It's important that God's people know how to access the miraculous power of God, that they know how to win souls to Jesus Christ miraculously. All of that is critical because we're at a critical moment. Where this lockdown is leading us to is a global lockdown that will consist of social isolation, nothing but propaganda, people plugged into their own cocoon or womb worlds, and people that are enslaved by technology. That's where all this is leading. And the Bible has a name for this Luciferian global system. It's known in the Bible as Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. So we have a job to do. We have a job to do. We need to understand the technology. We need to understand transhumanism and why they want to transform your DNA. It's not just some idle pursuit. The reason they want to transform your DNA is because they do not want you to be genetically human. Because you see, if you're not genetically human, you can no longer experience salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Because salvation by faith in Jesus Christ is only available to somebody who is genetically human or whose DNA is human. That's what's at stake. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, and spread this message far and wide.